Welcome to the Faith It Till You Make It podcast. My name is Aspasia Kumli Wood, and I am a mindset to heartset, manifestation, and spirituality teacher. My mission is to ignite your inner light, awaken the authentic self, and guide you as you manifest your daydream into reality. Confidence is sexy, so be you on purpose. I'm determined that we can change the world by changing ourselves first. Welcome to another episode at Faith It Till You Make It podcast. So today I'm so happy because we have with us Shelby, whom I met through Instagram, and she is a health and fitness expert, body positive advocate, and health at every size. We also did an episode at her podcast called Living Over Losing, which I enjoyed so much. It was a really long chat that we had. And so I'm very, very happy to welcome Shelby in our podcast today. Hi, Shelby.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you again.
Oh yeah, me too. And also, a lot of my students have been waiting for this episode. They are very interested to find out about your journey and what it is that you're doing, because I work with mostly, like I would say, like 98% with women, one to one or in groups, and it's all about empowerment and living a healthier life with a balance between mental health and physical health, and having healthy relationships and healthy professional environments. And for sure, it all starts by having a healthy relationship with ourselves, meaning our minds and our bodies. And I know myself growing up as a girl, I definitely had, I don't know if it's a term in psychology or not, but it definitely, as I understand it right now, it was a distorted self-image. Like I would see myself in the mirror worse than I was. So it's very, very interesting for me that you're here, and thank you for being here. So if you would like to tell us a little bit about yourself and introduce to our audience what it is that you do and all that magic.
Okay, awesome. So I'll kind of give you an insight of where I am now and what I'm doing now. I've been modeling and doing fitness modeling, not just fitness modeling, but also like commercial modeling, acting, for a few years. But I would say within the past 2 years, I've continued to do that, but I've also kind of branched out. I'm really interested in eating disorder recovery and in, you know, like the body acceptance movement. So I right now also am getting my coaching certificate to be an eating disorder recovery coach. And I'm doing that through, I'm not sure if anyone listening knows who Carolyn Costin is, but she's really big in the eating disorder recovery world. She has a huge recovery center in California called Montanito. And I believe she has I know she has a couple others now throughout the United States that aren't just in California. So she's like a huge pioneer in this work. And so she created a program where you can get certified basically to help people recovering from eating disorders or any type of, I mean, well, with eating disorders comes a lot of other anxiety and depression, or, you know, there's usually like some other issues. That. So it's kind of just learning all of that, and I'm almost done with that. So I'm really excited because I'm going to start my own website and business with that. So that is almost done.
That's amazing. Good luck with that. We need you. There's definitely a huge bridge between, you know, eating disorder and anxiety and confidence issues and all of other emotional things that you can help people with, for sure.
Yeah, I just look at it as kind of like what, I mean, so for my experience, because I struggled with that, I think it's almost kind of like a subconscious outlet for a way to let go of energy or let go of things that you're worried about. It's kind of like it's a distraction. It's a lot of things. So it could almost be, I mean, you could relate it to really any addiction, like alcohol, drugs, it's all pretty much the same thing. It's kind of like there's something that you might not even be aware of that you're trying to escape.
I see. And that was, and actually this is what was my first question for you, is how would someone know if they have an eating disorder? Because in my experience, I did have it, and I had already been doing therapy. I was already deep into the metaphysics. I wasn't teaching yet, but and I was never like obese or anything like that, but I definitely had an emotional relationship with food that I wasn't aware of. And one day I remember like I was having a session with my therapist, and randomly I remember like telling her that maybe I should have eaten like half of what I ate that day, and why did I eat it when I didn't want it? And in that moment, it, you know, something triggered within myself, and I was like, oh, wait a second, do I have an emotional relationship with food? So I wasn't aware of it. So how would someone know, what is it that you could tell us to help people know what is healthy relationship with food, and maybe take it back to the basics, like why do we need food? Why do we need that nourishment? And when that balance gets not harmonic anymore?
Right. And that's a super hard question. And I think that, personally, I was struggling for a long time. And I was struggling in college with more of like a typical textbook type eating disorder. And then after that, I had thought that I had recovered from it, but I was still way over exercising, like so concerned and so almost like it would be a breakdown if I couldn't exercise, or if I couldn't control what I was going to eat that day. And it was like, I didn't think I had an eating disorder at that time anymore, but I definitely did. So I think, and what's hard is right now our culture is so focused on that it almost promotes it with like diets. And right now is the new year, so it's like everybody needs to lose weight. It's the new year. Be the best you. And I definitely am like, I exercise still. I do eat balanced. You know, I'm not crazy about making sure that I only eat a certain amount of vegetables or whatever it is. I bring in things that I actually like. That's something too. I think that for a long time I convinced myself I don't like certain foods because they were quote unquote bad for me. But that wasn't really true. It was just kind of like a way for me to not eat them. So, and I do think that that's become normalized. So I think, you know, it's like everywhere you read, every magazine, it's stop eating pizza, stop eating cookies, start eating salmon and rice. And yes, eating salmon and rice is great, but also if you totally eliminate something that you, especially if you like it. So like if you think, okay, I'm never going to eat ice cream again because it's bad for me and it's making me quote unquote fat. That right there is unhealthy. That's an unhealthy way to look at food, because the food should be, I mean, like you said, if you break it down to the basics, you know, I was actually just thinking about this in the shower. Hundreds of years ago, we weren't counting calories. We didn't even know what a calorie was. That wasn't a thing. We just listened to our bodies when we were hungry and we ate food, whether that was whatever was available, depending on where you lived, or whether that was if you were able to choose what you wanted to eat. And that's really how simple it is. Like, it's so crazy that the cure to all of this craziness is really just listening to yourself instead of trying to control everything that's going into your mouth, or what you think what you should be eating. Those things change all the time. So the diets and the fads and that's always changing. So it's just, like, and I think that, I don't think that's really going to stop anytime soon, because it's a huge market. Mm-hmm. The fitness market is huge, and trying to sell weight loss supplements and shakes and meal plans. And that's like a huge thing. And I bought into that for a really long time. But at the end of the day, I was doing more harm than good by doing that. Like, I really was controlling I don't think I was even fully aware of it, but my whole entire life revolved around that. And that's not how it should be. Like, it should be, yes, everybody needs to eat, but we need to eat because we need to survive to be able to do the things that we want to do in our lives, not totally focus our whole lives around eating and exercising. And that's the only things that matter. And that's become normal almost right now. So yeah, it's really just breaking it back down to the basics of, like, if you can trust yourself, so you know when you're hungry, you know when you're full. It maybe if you're in the midst of an eating disorder right now, those things are off. That's why, like, for example, I'm trying to get my coaching certification to help people kind of come back to trusting themselves and being able to get their bodies back to a place where they're able to do that. But yeah, it's really just as simple as that. And
it's so interesting. You also know
like what you want too. So it's hard for, because when you are struggling, you'll think, oh, I can't have a cookie or I can't have ice cream because if I do, I'll never stop eating that. And you might feel like that because you haven't let yourself for a year have any sweets, let's say. Like, that's like extreme, but some people do that. So let's say for a year, you don't have any sort of dessert and then you get your hands on a dessert. Of course, you're going to overdo it because you've been deprived of it. So it's something that if you're, you know, if you just come back to, like, one day I feel like having ice cream and then you just have some of the ice cream instead of being like, no, 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 I'm not eating that. I'm not eating that. You know, that just builds up into this huge cycle. And inevitably you probably will end up eating more ice cream than you would have before anyway. So it's just, like, so crazy that we don't trust ourselves and think that, oh, well, if I just trust my body, I'm only going to eat things that are bad for me, which isn't true. Like, you know, your body knows what it needs. Sometimes it needs vegetables. Sometimes it needs meat. It's just, it's crazy that it's gotten so complicated.
That's, you know, it's so funny that the whole time, and somebody's texting me. So the whole time that you're talking, I just realized once again that it's all about listening to our inner self, which is our body. It's like this. So people are selling us, companies, corporations, doctors, they are all selling us a remedy that it's outside of our body. It's outside of ourselves. We're waiting to find the solution outside of us. Whereas the answer is creating the relationship with myself, knowing my body, knowing how to listen to my body, because that's where the confusion starts. We don't know how to communicate with our bodies. We don't know how to listen to our belly. We don't know. So I actually thought it's really interesting because I've been living my life on diets since I was maybe 16 or 17. And all of a sudden, once I met my husband, and we were just dating, that was like three and something years ago, I all of a sudden stopped caring about losing or, you know, body image or whatever. And I relaxed, basically. So I felt this deep relaxation. And all of a sudden I was like, okay, whatever. I'm just going to eat everything I want, even things that I hadn't allowed myself to eat for years. I was actually vegan when I met Eric, and I decided to just go full on and eat anything, you know, allow myself to even eat bacon, which I don't think I had eaten bacon, obviously because I was vegan, but also because it wasn't allowed. I didn't allow myself to, maybe like 10 years, you know. So I started eating all of the fats that I didn't allow myself to eat, all of the sugar that I didn't allow myself to eat. Then slowly I realized 6 months later that I lost weight eating all the things that I didn't allow myself for years. I wasn't bloated anymore in the ways that I used to. And I was mentally healthier, more relaxed and more accepting and happy with my body. And then what happened was, I woke up one day and I knew what I wanted to eat. And I was like, wait a second, that is a new, relationship with myself. Like, how can I? So I know what I want to eat and I know that I don't want to eat oatmeal. You know how many years I've been eating oatmeal as my breakfast? Mm-hmm. And I woke up that morning and I was like, oatmeal is not good for me. I don't know what they say, it does not feel good in my body. And so 3 years now, I've never eaten oatmeal again. My bowel, whatever, movements are better than any other time in my life. And so it's, so what you were saying, it's super helping me right now, you know, go through my own journey and be like, oh my God. So that is again, the answer, listening and creating this relationship with ourselves. And that's why coaching is a natural step to where you're going, because I also do coaching, and the basis of coaching is it's all in our minds, and our subconscious mind is our body. And through that relationship, we can just redefine what it is that we think that we are. That's amazing. Thank you for all that.
Yeah. And it's like exactly what you're saying too. I think that, I had to go through recovering myself. And at first that was just on a food basis. Basically, I was sick of basically driving myself crazy with food and exercise. So I wanted to somehow normalize that. And so I had to work on that. And that was like the first step. But then once that started becoming easier and I started normalizing my food more, and I started, you know, eating things that I wanted to, and I wasn't binging anymore, I wasn't over like crazily compulsively exercising, I started to realize other things that were maybe not right in my life. And so it's like a mask, and I had no idea. I remember thinking when I was trying to recover, I was like listening. I listened to a bunch of podcasts. I read books, and a lot of them said stuff like, you know, it's not about the food. Like there's something underlying, there's a reason that this is happening, and there's something that you're either avoiding, or there's something wrong, or maybe it's like some post-trauma. And I remember thinking, I don't have anything like that. I just want to be skinny.
That is
because I just was so unaware of like everything.
Of course.
And just so detached from myself that was definitely the first step in starting all of that. But you could relate, like you said, you could relate, you know, trusting yourself on what you need to eat. You also can trust yourself on everything. I mean, your intuition knows. And so, yeah, I think that you could definitely take like the lessons learned from recovering from eating disorder and put them really towards any aspect of life.
Wow. Wow. And you know what? And I think that for me, the most important thing about all that is taking ourselves outside of our bodies for a second and looking at ourselves and create and to understand where we're at with food, because that's exactly what you went through and what I went through too, in a different spectrum, by the way, because I always thought that skinny and absolutely amazing, like fit people don't have, difficulty or difficult relationship with food, but I'm wrong. Like I have never thought about it that way. Of course, like there's the two sides of the spectrum. So I think it's really, for me, it's really interesting for our audience to just observe yourself and see what's the relationship you have with food, and what is the misconception around food and the reasons why you nourish yourselves in the way you do, or why you don't nourish yourselves in the way you do. Because definitely our minds do not understand that we might be overcompensating for something. But there is a reason why I wanted to eat a little bit more than I needed, or I was binge eating. In times of stress, for example, or when I felt lonely, it's really interesting to just observe and see, and maybe take note or journal and be like, oh, okay, so now why am I doing this? Right? So it's kind of like an overcompensation for something else.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think, and there's so many other ways that can manifest. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be an eating disorder. It could be, like I said earlier, you know, it could be alcohol that you're abusing. It could be drugs. It could be sex. It could be anything. That's like it's how it's manifesting out. And I was just talking to my friend the other day, yesterday, actually. And I was saying, it's so crazy because we're not like, this is not the way that we learn things. We're not taught this. We're not taught really to like listen to ourselves. And if anything, I feel like it's the opposite. We're kind of taught to, we have control over, we can change, you know, how we feel, and we shouldn't feel a certain way. We shouldn't do certain things. I feel like that's kind of how this culture is. And that's not, I feel like that's totally wrong, because really your relationship with yourself is so much more important than anybody ever talks about. I mean, not ever, but you know, like it's not the normal thing to learn when you're, especially when you're growing up, but your relationship with yourself, it really like affects the rest of your life. It affects your other relationships. It affects, you know, you might have, like I had anxiety, and that kind of was another way to deal with it, was with the eating disorder, but it could be anything else. So it's just like nobody really ever, it's like you come to this, and I'm not sure if it's just because I've gotten older that I like came to this magical conclusion. I think that a lot of it had to do with trying to recover from the eating disorder. I learned a lot from that. So in that sense, I'm thankful for it, because it really did change my life, like coming out of it. And I just learned so much about myself. But it is so crazy that we really do have the control over everything in just the way that we feel and treat ourselves.
And so I love what you're saying. And I just wanted to ask you, so how, for those of you that are listening, I feel that the question would be, so how do I start this relationship with myself? Like, so how did you, what was the first thing you did? So what was the first thing that helped you? Maybe like a small advice or like a small technique or something, like really, because for example, like when I teach my students how to, you know, to increase their confidence, and let go of negative, thinking and, negative emotions around their, you know, soul purpose or like finding their soulmate. I always start with giving them the exercise of just start journaling, you know, start automatic writing to, you know, like listen to your thoughts and start observing yourself. But, when I'm dealing with an addiction, right? So I'm in a place where I realize that I'm probably maybe having some sort of not harmonic relationship with some sort of action or substance, let's say. So what is the first thing that you would say would be beneficial for that person to start that relationship with themselves, so that they can start trusting themselves and trusting their intuition and just getting to understand what they're overcompensating for and why is this happening? And so what would you say is the first thing that...
I think that it's an ongoing process. So I don't necessarily think there's ever like an end point to where you're like, yes, I have the best relationship ever with myself. I think it always can improve, and you're always learning about things about yourself too. And you're learning better ways to deal with things. I'm still doing that. And whether it be with regards to myself or with other people, different relationships, I'm still learning that. But I think that once you start the process, it does become so much easier, and you become so much more aware of, you kind of can trust yourself and your intuition more. It's like a little bit stronger. The way that I would say that I started that was, and I truly think that if you do have some kind of ailment, like if you are struggling with an eating disorder, if you are struggling with alcohol or something like that, that's really affecting your day-to-day life, I really think that you have to deal with that first, sort of on like a surface level. Trying to, whether it be, you know, not drink or try to follow a meal plan, to get back onto a normal eating pattern before you can start to trust yourself again. I think that it's so important to deal with those things first, because if you don't, it's almost, I mean, yes, you can do the work and you can try to, you know, you can journal, you can meditate, but if you're still acting in, on those behaviors, you're really not listening to your body, and you're really not listening to yourself. You're still trying to like run away from something. Mm-hmm. And I think that, sorry, I think I did that too. Mm. Even in the beginning of recovery, what helped me a lot was writing down my feelings. So I had a blog for a while. I don't have it anymore. And I'm very open about things, so I kind of didn't really care about publishing it. But some people obviously might not want that out there, how they're feeling and how they're going through things. So you could always have a private blog, you could journal. But that actually really helped me. Like I didn't think it would, but almost like when I was writing, whatever I was feeling at the time or whatever was going on in my head, I would come to these like conclusions of things that I wasn't even aware of. So it's almost like your subconscious is like takes over. So I think that's like a really good way to start to understand what's even going on, or try to understand it. Also, something that I did do, and I should do this still more, but I did meditate, and I'm not good at that, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not good at just laying down and being still. So that was very hard for me. I had a therapist who was awesome, and I still talk to her actually once in a while. She's great. She recommended Insight Timer, which is an app, which kind of like takes, I'm sure you probably already know this, but it takes you through different meditations. So like it could be a 5 minute, a 10 minute, and it's somebody that's like prompting you. So it's not just silence. So it's someone that's saying, imagine, you know, your worst day or something. And, or it gives you like some kind of, it gives you some kind of prompt so you can see where your mind goes. And like, that's another way too, to try to discover like what's going on, what's wrong. And really there's no like magic trick to it. I really think that it's just starting to really dig into it. And a lot of times it's not easy because I think you learn that like there might be things that you don't want to face that are wrong in your life, or maybe like there's things that you've been doing that are not good, or there's things maybe about you that you need to change or look at. And that's obviously not easy for anyone to deal with, but it's like once you come to terms with it and you start exploring what is going on in your mind and, you know, why are these things happening? Why do I feel this way? Why am I doing this? If you start really digging into that, it just becomes so much easier, and it becomes easier to accept the reasons too. And then like, of course, life always is going to have problems, and there's always going to be issues, and it's not going to be easy. It's not like you figure it out, like I said, in one day, it's just perfect. But you learn how to deal with it, and you learn how to, instead of push it away, you know, not want to deal with things as they come up or not want to deal with problems within yourself, you're just much more aware and able to deal with it. Maybe that might mean like feeling your emotions and letting yourself, I don't know, cry if you're upset, even if it's something mm-hmm. that might be ridiculous and, you know, like something yes. maybe you think you shouldn't be upset about. But just once you, I don't know, it's just really like feeling your real emotions and stuff, and not trying to push them back, not trying to hide them, mask them. That's when things get out of whack. And yes, sometimes, like, especially as girls, we have menstrual cycles. Like, there's times where things seem so ridiculous to be upset over, but you're upset over it. And I've learned to just let myself be upset over it, or, you know, it doesn't last very long. Maybe I cry about it for like 10 minutes and then I'm like, okay, that's done. Whereas before I would be like, what is wrong with me? Why do I feel like this? Like, why I'm so crazy that what is wrong? And, you know, it's just going down that road is only going to make things worse rather than just dealing with whatever's happening at the moment and then letting it pass. Like, I think it becomes this huge cycle of trying to ignore everything that's going on, and that doesn't work.
I love this. It all comes back to acceptance. So you said stop what you're doing, look at it, accept it, make it your practice to kind of like get out of it. Accept that you're there and then let it dissolve by either being expressed as an emotion or whatever it is. So the journey always starts with accepting. And that's exactly when change can happen. Change can only happen once I accept where I'm at. And while you were talking, I thought of in the same category is negative thinking, which is a lot of the things that I teach about. So negative thinking is also an addiction. And the first thing would be to accept that I'm doing it and be okay with the fact that I am, with no blames whatsoever to myself, and then try to understand it, like you said. Accept it, try to understand it, and then feel it out. Let the emotions wash through your body, and even if they're crazy and wacko, and then let it pass. And so on what you said about being women and our hormonal cycle that goes with the moon, and I do a lot of podcasts around the moon, although I'm not an astrologer or claiming to be one, I know how the moon is really, really important it's very relevant to our moon cycle. It's called a moon cycle. And so a small note about that, yes, our hormonal chemistry of our bodies as women is so much more different than men. And according to the yogic applied sciences, we have 11 emotional centers as women. So we filter emotions 11 times deeper than a man. And every 2.5 days, our emotional state changes. Our emotional chemistry changes. And there are days where we're more extrovert, days that we're not so extrovert, days that we're more flirty, you know? So addiction and emotional management goes hand in hand, because knowing those 11 emotional centers, you can work with them better. And by the way, I also have my meditations on Inside Timer, and it's a great app. It's free. And it's really helpful, you're right, because you have someone to guide you through. But I will invite you to my next academy as my guest, so you can take my course and just learn how to meditate and make it like fun for you. Because I think that, because that's it's parts of what I teach is learning to meditate and connecting with that side of us and having fun with it, because it can be really, really magical. So I'm going to invite you in the next cycle.
Oh, awesome.
Yes. As my guest, you'll be there. That's so beautiful. I know you have to go. So just before you go, thank you so much for everything. And we're going to,
oh my gosh, yes.
And we're going to collaborate more.
Yeah. There's so many things we could talk about.
Yes. And, so tell me a little bit of what's up for you in 2018, if there is something that you're working on, and then we'll talk again offline and create maybe something like a more specific themed podcast on a specific thing. I'm going to ask also our followers and see what they are interested in. But tell us a little bit about your 2019, where you're at, what are you working on, and what should we expect from you? And thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Okay. So 2018 was like a very transformative year for me. I literally like almost my entire life changed. So
I feel you.
Yes. So 2019, actually my boyfriend's been like making fun of me because I wrote like intentions on the whiteboard on the refrigerator, and I'm like going nuts. I have this really good feeling about it because I did so much work, and it was so 2018 was very hard for me. And a lot of it was because I was like coming to these realizations and doing a lot of work on myself. And it was very hard, but there were some really good things that came out of it. And so I'm really hoping that this year, you know, feeling a lot more clear-headed that things will finally settle into where I want them to be. So like I said, I'm doing the coaching program, which I'm really, really, really excited about that. I'm almost done with that. So definitely starting my business in 2019, hopefully within the next couple months, coaching, whether it be online or whether it be in person, depending on where the, you know, where you live. That's something that I'm super excited to start. And then I kind of, with that, I want that to grow, into more of kind of like what you do with, like, with your, programs and, and all that stuff, like groups and everything. So that's definitely on the, that's like a huge goal on the radar.
That's so amazing. There's so many people that need you, and you have a great niche. And you'll be very successful. You're really good at doing this. And yeah, I'm so excited to see your online courses and everything. And your podcast, Living Over Losing, right?
Yes. So that was,
you're continuing that.
I had taken a little break from that. Like I said, so there was a period of time where I needed a refresh, regroup, with everything that kind of went on last year. So I did take a break. I am still recording. I posted hours on season two, even though I technically haven't really started season two yet, but I just really wanted to post our
interview. Yes, it was so good.
So I'm still recording for that, and that will also be picked back up. That's kind of going along with like the coaching business. It's pretty much the same. I started the podcast as pretty much like an eating disorder recovery / body image podcast, but it's kind of evolved as I've evolved with it. And it's sort of now become more of like trusting your intuition and, you know, like living your authentic life. So it there's a mix of everything in the podcast.
It is definitely the time of we're going towards the age of the Aquarian age. And it's definitely the time where, teachers are being born through their own healing process, healing and helping others heal, guiding others heal because from whatever they learn through their own process. So that's what I love about this new age that we're in. It's not about something you just read. It's not about something you just went to school for. It's something that you went to school for, but also have a very radical, you know, physical and mental experience with. And then you're able to teach that and guide others with it for that, you know? So, and most of my friends now, they are doing this. Anyone that has awoken to their journey, they suffer themselves. And then through that, you know, process, they learn, they heal themselves, and then they're able to guide and help others. So,
oh yeah,
I love that.
I feel like that's the best kind of teacher for sure. Is someone, and yeah, it's like a blessing and a curse because
oh yeah, of course,
it's awful as you're going through it. It really, you know, of course, nobody wants to struggle and nobody wants to have to face issues that might be going on and fix those and really reevaluate your life, but once you do the work, even how hard it is, like it's so rewarding. And it's just like, that's why I want to help other people because I don't want people to be stuck where I was and feel like that's it.
It's not it. Like, yes.
No. Yeah, it's not. So that's why I think that, you know, people that have been through it, whether it be whatever it is. And I know that you have a similar story as to, you know, not feeling like you had a purpose and not knowing what you were doing. And so many people feel like that. And they just don't know what to do about it. And so it's just, I think that's the best kind of teacher, someone that's been through it.
Yes. And that's the beautiful thing about the word guru. And that's why I love the word guru, but of course it has all those like connotations that I don't like, but it's in Sanskrit, it means, it means teacher, obviously, but it comes from the combination of two words, gu, which means darkness, and ru, which means light. So it's the teacher or the agent or the guide that takes you from the darkness to the light. So when somebody has already gone through the same thing and they've seen the light at the end of the tunnel, right, they can help you. So a lot of times, like a lot of my friends, they will just contact me where they're going through, you know, their own cycles of, you know, they're not feeling well, and I'll be like, yeah, that's great. Through those darker times, you'll learn you learn yourself better, and you'll get better. Mm-hmm. And then there's so much light waiting for you afterwards. And you know, when they recover from it, however long it might take them, like 2 weeks or like whatever, 2 months or 2 years, doesn't matter. They will come back and say, Aspasia, it was the weirdest thing that you told me during my, you know, down cycle, that there is light in the dark, you know, at the end of the tunnel. But you were right. And thank you. Nobody else, you know, of course, because when you've gone through it, you can give hope to another person and guidance and,
right.
and the step-by-step process of, you know what? Don't worry. It's going to suck maybe for a little bit, but it's not going to suck as much as if you tried to do it by yourself. You know, right. you have guidance now. I've done this. Don't worry about it. And I can guide you. So thank you for your work in this, and your service in this planet. It was so good to talk to you.
You too. Thank you so much.
Kindred spirits are met through the internet across yes. the US and across the Atlantic. So thank you so much for your time, and we'll speak again soon. Ciao.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye.